I think this is a great metaphor. You know, you criticize things and think that this will surely lead to the improvement, but most of the time it leads to the decline.
Yeah.
It just gets worse. You're like, this internet sucks. And then the internet is like, well, let me show you what sucks really means. Mm-hmm. And then it really sucks. And then you wish you had your old internet back. Isn't it glorious that I'm able to hear your beautiful voice and talk to you at all? You know, we have a delay, that's true. But is it a delay comparable to the delay of writing you a letter and sending it to Thailand?
Yeah,
for sure isn't. So this is great. What I wanted to talk to you about today was the spiritual work of family, but we can translate this to bad internet. It's a very similar thing. Your internet is really slow and really bad. Boom. Welcome to your spiritual work. This is it. This is the work. You know, can you be gracious with slow internet? Can you? Is it possible? How impatient will you be? How ungrateful? How irritable? How annoyed? What is your state of being when you can't open your favorite app or when you're trying to message a friend and I don't know, it takes too long to load or upload or download something? Can you have grace? Can you be kind-hearted? Can you have fun while things slow down way more than you're used to them? Then congratulations, you're doing it. You know, this is probably a good indication of you doing it. Yes, you're on the path, at least in the direction of enlightenment, right? You're really doing it. You are it. But if the slowness of the internet irritates you, makes your face fall to the floor, you know, makes you frown, makes you irritable, makes you itchy, you know, you still got work ahead of you.
Quite some work to do, yeah.
Yes, quite some work to do. And this is a pattern. You go and do some, it could be inner work, it could be spiritual work, whatever you call it. You go do a silent retreat, or you do a week of fasting, or you do an ayahuasca ceremony in the jungle. And you come back and you go, I have figured it out. I've done the work. I've touched the light, peace, love. All my pain has surfaced, bubbled to the surface and popped into the air and vanished. You know, now I finally know the truth. And then, you know,
your grandparents
visit you. You get, oh yeah, your children show up, your wife or husband is irritated that the internet isn't working or that the garage is full of crap and you still haven't cleaned it out, although you promised it last summer. And, you know, your coworkers are sending you emails about some campaign you were managing that didn't work out. And your aunts show up and they're, you know, complaining and bickering about inflation and the government and I don't know what. And you see all that light, all that beauty, all that power, all that wisdom just flees, it exits your body and just whoop, it vanishes. It disappears. It
disappears like in a drain.
Yes. Oh yeah. That's even better. Yes. 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 It doesn't flow upwards. It flows downwards into the drain. Yes. I love that. And you look at all these people in disgust, repulsed, and you go, they are the problem. I came here all clean and they are muddying me up. They're dirtying me. They're dragging me down to their level. This is why I can't be as happy as I want.
Exactly how Jesus or Buddha would have looked at these people, right? The same thoughts that they would have had.
Exactly the same thoughts, right? Yes. The Buddha, Jesus, all these prophets, saints, whatever you want to call them, they came on earth and they said, just be with the nice people and just be around things that are cool. And if something comes in is negative, ooh, that's the devil. You should never be with people that are in pain or suffering or stressed or angry. You should banish them from your kingdom. Right? That's exactly what they said. But it is, I mean, it's comical, but it is a predictable pattern that we all and most people that I've observed, and I myself have gone through many, many times, you go somewhere. It could be a vacation, doesn't even have to be a retreat, but I'm taking spiritual work because it's a nicer contrast. You go to, you know, some ashram in India and you do like a, you know, a silent retreat, and then you do a fasting and you come back, you feel all holy, all saintly, all beautiful, all peaceful. And then you immerse yourself back into the world and, oh my God, you know, why is the world fucking with my peace? And the truth is, what you did, you know, I was saying this about myself, that silent retreat, that fasting, all that spiritual, those spiritual trips, those were vacations, right? That's the vacation. When you come back, when you host your entire family for a birthday party, that is the spiritual work, right? Thanksgiving dinner is the spiritual work that you have to do. It's not the being in ashram in India and like meditating. That's the spiritual vacation, right? It helps. It might illuminate some things, but the work is being done here on earth, on the real soil, in your real life, in your house, in your village, in your city, with your family, right? With the people that are least convenient, the ones that most easily open up your skin and expose your inner wounds and who you really are. Because when you have true peace, the external waves are not throwing you around left and right in the ocean. They are not punishing and punching you. You know, you're surfing those waves. If they're big, they're big. If they're small, they're small. You are going with the flow and you can find enjoyment and peace and beauty in all of it. The quiet sea as well as the storms. It's only when inside of you, you're suppressing the anger, the anguish, the pain, the guilt, that you can go somewhere and hide even further from it, and then get exposed to who you really are in this moment. Because who you really are at your deepest core is who you are in the least preferable circumstances. You know what the funny thing about the internet is? It's worse when it's slow than when it's down. How is that possible? I don't know why, but it is sort of true. It just hit me. When it's very, very slow is even worse than when it's not working at all. Maybe because not working at all is definitive, and it also points us to you have to go somewhere else where there's internet, or you have to, you know, submit it and read a book or do something else. But when it's slow, it has a special kind of way of reaching the deepest part of us that is impatient and then hates to wait, right? Or the guilt of all the wasted time of our life, or whatever the hell it is that it pushes. But regardless of all that, when the circumstances are at their worst, that's who you are. You at your worst is who you truly are. This is where kind of you're at the under the bed, you know, whatever is hidden there, all the garbage, all the stuff that you put to the basement, that's really who you are, right? You're not who you are. The painting outside the building is not who you truly are. That's just the periphery. That's just the surface. Who you truly are at your core is what comes out in the worst situations. Now, when really bad situations are happening, or you come back from your spiritual ayahuasca retreat and a family member, your uncle, your father, your sister, your brother, that typically irritates you, angers you, upsets you, is doing the same thing, and you now feel love, you now see that they're just suffering, that they're just insecure, that they're just ashamed, that they're just in pain or in fear, and you feel tenderness towards them, boom, that's a pretty good indication that you know, you've actually moved somewhere, something truly transformed, right, and changed. But being saintly and happy and nice and kind when you're somewhere far away from all the people that truly know you and have touched you and have history with you and truly far away from your real life and your nature, and everybody's happy dappy because they've also just went to the jungle and have gone through this transformative psychedelic experience. Walking around there in Peru and feeling really beautiful is also nice. We all need vacations at times. And like that also shows you a side of yourself. This is who I am at my best. That's nice to experience. That's really important as a shore to find some rest at while you were out in the sea and being thrown around from wave to wave. But that is not it. When you come back and you're faced with the things that can penetrate you. And what they expose is love or peace or acceptance or curiosity, where in the past they would expose, you know, anger, pain, or whatever. Yeah, then transformation truly happened. If they don't, maybe you just took a break. Maybe you needed that, but transformation might still be ahead of you. And oftentimes it's something in between. Maybe you're a bit more aware. Maybe you notice it much more stronger. Usually we notice it stronger because the contrast is bigger, but then the response, the intuitive response is, I need to expel this person from my life. This is what people often do. They go through some spiritual transformation, through some inner work, and then they cannot bear the pain anymore, or the irritation, or the anger that is generated through somebody in their life. Let's take family, because it's a great source for a lot of sorrow and pain for most people. Those are all where the deepest roots are, where the most penetrating people of our lives surround us with is family. People come back and then they go, oh, I can't bear this anymore. This is too much. And I've now realized, now my eyes are open and I see clearly, I need to distance myself from my parents, or distance myself from my siblings, or distance myself from this person or that person. Or maybe in even worse cases, somebody comes back and they are like, my children, my wife or husband, I need to leave them. They're not spiritually aligned with me anymore or whatever. And that might be true. I mean, I don't know. You can universally say some people you should maybe expel from your life. Maybe that's the right thing to do. But that first instinct is not necessarily always the truth. It could just be something to meditate on, to be like, oh, where did this come from? Oh, wow, this thing that I'm feeling, is it really true that it was never this bad, or was it always like this? And why am I feeling this bad when a moment ago I was so peaceful? Is it really that they have inserted anger inside of me where there wasn't any? Or when I'm so quick to explode, maybe there was already a good amount of, you know, explosives inside of me, because all that happened externally is a little bit of a spark and a massive explosion inside of me came as a reaction. There must have been dynamite inside of me hidden somewhere that where I couldn't find it myself. And this person, this uncle or sibling, is really my spiritual teacher, is the one that hits the spark and lets me explode so I can see and realize and fully experience that, no, I'm not yet clean and peaceful and holy and whole. I still have things. And maybe I just cleaned up a bit, but maybe I also put the most negative things in the basement. And now I'm pretending I don't own them anymore. So, and I mentioned this recently in our conversation about Dick Schwartz, your tormentors, right? The people that torment you the most, they're your biggest mentors, the teachers. And family really is your spiritual retreat. Your children, for some people, it's their children. For some people, it's their partners, their spouses, their husbands. For some people, it's their siblings, brothers, sisters. Some people, it's the father and mother a lot of times. Whoever in your family is tormenting you the most, whoever you can't bear, whoever turns you into the worst version of yourself, makes you feel things and be and embody things you don't want to embody and be, that person is pointing to something inside of you that exists all the time, no matter if they're there or not. They just expose it quicker than anyone else can. And so they offer you an opportunity. They really are enlightening you to your darkness or to your inner truth, the ugliest truth. You go to a beautiful retreat, you sit in front of a guru, that guru tells you your light, your beauty, your God's child, whatever that person says, it feels good to you. That's also a sort of an exposure. They expose you to part of who you really are that feels really good. But your father that always makes you feel terrible, that makes you feel unloved, unworthy, that makes you feel angry, he also is a spiritual teacher enlightening you to something you carry inside of yourself. Maybe they were part of generating that within you as a child, but now you are choosing to carry it every single day. If you let that go, nothing can really happen. There's a story for you for Buddha, right? There was a man that met the Buddha, and the man decided to attack Buddha. And tell him terrible things and tell him that he's a liar and that he's scum and dirt and that he's a nothing and that all this is bullshit and that he's bullshit. And he's like, was attacking him verbally. And the Buddha sat there without moving and just patiently waiting for the man to scream and shout everything he had inside of him and expose all of that and finish his attack. And at the end of the attack, the Buddha asked the man, let me ask you, if you bring me a gift and I reject it, who owns it? And the man said, me. And he said, that's exactly right. Why would you want to own all this hate and all this pain and all this suffering and all this anger and rage? Be careful what you are trying to gift others. And in this case, the Buddha was like, this doesn't affect me because this is something you carry inside of you. You want to give it to me, but I go, no, thanks. I don't want that gift. And that's it. That's all that happened. You cannot impact me if I don't accept it. And I accept it because I recognize it as something that is true and inside of me. But in this case, the Buddha didn't. The Buddha didn't recognize any of these words as true, any of these fears or angers as things that were inside of him. So he could endure all of this verbal abuse and not feel a single touch of his soul, not feel a single ping or pain, because none of this had anything to do with him. And he didn't accept that gift, right? And in the same way, all the anger, all the irritation, all the frustration that quote unquote others are causing you, they can only cause you when you accept their gift. I saw an interaction with Gabo Mate. He was doing a workshop with a bunch of therapists, and there was a lady that came on stage and they did a session with her and then went back into her childhood and was asking her all kinds of questions. And eventually he asked her something and she looks really angrily at him. And then she goes, you're really stressing me out. You've given me a lot of anxiety right now. You're giving me a lot of anxiety right now is what she said. And he looks at her and he smiles and he extends his hand and goes, then give it back to me. And everybody laughs. It's like, well, if I gave it to you, give it back to me, you know? And with that little gesture, she kind of exposes that I didn't give you anything. I didn't insert anything into your soul, your body, your mind. You've made yourself feel anxious hearing me speak, but I didn't give you anxiety. I did not stress you out. If I gave you anxiety, you could give it back, but you can't. And so I've been pondering all this for obvious reasons, because, you know, weeks ago, 2 months ago, I did a silent retreat. And then a month ago or so, I did a fasting retreat and I did all this beautiful spiritual work. And for the past 2 weeks, I've been doing family retreat, right? I'm back in Germany. I'm with my family. This weekend, I had basically almost every single person in my family, all the children, all the brothers, all the siblings, the mothers, everybody was here. And I could realize that, yeah, wow, it is much harder for me to breathe deeply while I'm surrounded by family. It's much easier for me to forget to breathe or to tense up. It's much harder for me to be fully present and aware when I'm with family. It's much harder for me to really fully see my family and every single person and be completely present for them when I'm with them. It's much easier when I'm out in nature to look at trees with full presence, to listen to the birds with full awareness, than when I'm in a room with, you know, 10 family members and children screaming and people gibbering and jabbering and like all this is going on. It's much harder for me to be peaceful, to be present, to be aware, to when I interact with them, to really see them. It's so much harder. One-on-one, I'm pretty good today, but when it's the entire lot, I realized I spent the whole day with everyone and not a single moment was I able to fully see them with fresh eyes, to see what do their eyes tell me? What does their body tell me? Like just being really there to fully experience them. There's only, you know, 20% of awareness and consciousness experiencing them, and then 80% busy with myself, my own thoughts, the other people, the what needs to get done next, the what noises are happening, the very, very difficult to be fully present and fully aware. And for me personally, challenging to end the day and feel refreshed and feel re-energized and feel inspired. I did, you know, I did have a great time. We laughed a lot. The kids were having a great time. Like, it was a kind of a wild gathering, and I did enjoy parts of it, but it also exhausted me. It didn't make me feel like I felt when I was just walking in nature, listening to the wind and meditating. Right? It was a kind of a very different thing. And I don't believe that it can't. Not that it must. Like, you could just have fun. Like, if I go to a rave and I dance, that's not the same thing, same modality than walking in nature and meditating. But even when I do something very exhausting, like going to a rave and dancing for many, many hours, I might still, even in my exhaustion, feel re-energized. My soul might feel freshened up the next morning, right? That felt good, that release, that feeling the music, letting the body go wild. Although it's physically active, it can be spiritually energizing and nurturing. And I think the same thing is within reach with family. And I've experienced that many times, but more often I've experienced burdened or a certain level of tiredness or a certain level of, okay, I can only handle this much. The first hour I'm having fun, but the third hour of a birthday family party, I'm getting exhausted. Like, this is too much for me. And this weekend was great, much better than it used to be for me. But also it was a great mirror. Wow. This is who you are, the least favorable circumstances, in a less favorable environment for you to feel peaceful. This is how you handle it. This is who you are and how you feel. And there's blessings and work to be done. And it's not that, like the monks or many other people, and I've always thought that there's a tremendous amount of bullshit that was encapsulated in a lot of those ideas of, let's just flee life. Let's just, you know, run away from the town, the village, the city, all the people, all the troubles, and go somewhere where there's nothing. Go and find hiding in some monastery. And there I'm surely going to live a less sinful life. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're living a life that's closer to death than to life, or that exiled all the things that could be challenges for you, then yeah, you're not going to be challenged in life. You're not going to feel as challenged, and you're not going to lose to some of these challenges, but you also will not be able to transform with them and to win over them and to grow and change. And you're not really living life to the fullest, drinking and fully clenching all your thirst to life, even if you swallow a bit too much and have to cough a little bit at times. That, to me, always seemed like a cop-out. Like, I'm going to make life so much easier by going somewhere where there's nobody or nothing, just beautiful nature, and I'm just going to sit somewhere, and then I'm going to be surely more peaceful than if I lived in the city or in my town or with my family or in the real world. And yeah, that will and might feel more peaceful. What is the point to run away from the most powerful spiritual teachers that exist, the ones that are mirrors to who you really are, to your darker side, your shadow side, the things that you don't like about yourself, the things you don't want to see? Why would you go somewhere where you will never see those things that are truly part of who you are? Like, life is about experiencing and expanding consciousness to some degree, and your consciousness is not going to expand with you narrowing the field of what you can experience, the field of vision, the field of experience. It's going to expand through opening your eyes more, so you see more things, you look away less, you accept more things, you're more open to everything and everyone. That's what I've been thinking more and more about, is that the way to enlightenment is to, there's nothing you can look at and not recognize anymore as part of you. There's nothing that scares you. There's nothing that there's nothing that can irritate, scare, anger, or pain you, because everywhere you look, you recognize everything as part of who you are. Like, your heart becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until it encapsulates the entire world. There's not a thing, a living thing, not a living being, not a human that is doing something that you cannot recognize and find some love for, some compassion, some inclusion for. Nothing. That's a radical idea. That's something that maybe no human has ever truly reached, and maybe some few humans have reached, but it's a very challenging ideal for us mere mortals, but it's a beautiful ideal to contemplate. right? To play with. And when you reverse it to your inner self, which is a lot of what the inner family system work is all about, when you start doing the inner work of seeing more of your inner self, of your different parts, and finding that even if they cause havoc in your day-to-day life, they have oftentimes good reasons. Even if they're the results they're generating are bad for you, the reasoning behind it is understandable once you really open up to listen and to understand. And the more that you start seeing your different internal parts, the more you start accepting them and loving them, the more then your heart grows and the more people fall into a circle that you can recognize. If you can't be with your family and feel love and compassion and curiosity and peace, then there's a lot more work to be done. That's all there is. There's just a lot more work to be done. Because if you can't be with your family and be this way, then you're not there yet. And there's work to be done.
How it went on the weekend with your family and what you took away from it?
I don't know yet. I think more than anything right now, there's a curiosity that I have about it of like, how can I practice and expand more presence? How can I recognize more the parts that are still challenged? I think that's part of the tricky game, because mentally I had very little moments on the weekend where I felt irritated or angry, or I didn't have many conscious challenging dialogues. And it's fairly easy for me to feel something like an irritation or, wow, I'm not breathing deeply. What is it? Oh, I don't like the current conversation that's going on, or I feel burdened by it. Well, what do I want to talk about? Let me talk about something else. And then asking another question, then going, oh yeah, this is much nicer. I feel much better about this. On a pure rational level, it was easy to experience that with more awareness and to adjust and to feel sort of like happy about the results or that how things were going. But then on the physical level, when at the end of the weekend, I sit down and I do experience fatigue, and I can feel that I'm exhausted or that I'm more tired than I'd like to be. There's part of me that wants to run away from that by going, well, we're going to meditate more tomorrow. We're going to do a long walk now, or let me do another round of yoga, like doing any of kind of these practices that do bring peace with it or do bring relief. And that's nice. And I do some of that. But then there's the other side of me as well that goes, well, there's clearly parts of me that are challenged and want to be more recognized. And that's the part of the work that I need to do as well. Instead of just going, I feel exhausted. Let me just amp up the level of meditation I do so I feel less exhausted. There's a flip side to it, which is, well, there was tension then this weekend that I didn't feel. There was things that were happening that I pretended to be okay with, or I rationalized in my mind, oh, it's just, you know, this person is just doing this because that's where they are and that's what they mean. It's all good. And mentally, that might have made sense to me, but there was an emotion in me, a part of me that was not okay with that and is not yet there to truly be okay. And that part needs to be heard. That part needs to be felt. Like the tension, the anger, the frustration, the disagreement, like all the little emotions that I don't allow myself, finding time to process those, to feel those, to listen to those a bit more, not to give them the rein or make them decide everything, but to not pretend they're not there. There's still work to be done. That's how I feel. I feel like, oh, there's a bunch of feelings and things that are inside of me that I need to bring patience to and feel more to understand myself better, to understand where I really am at, right? When the last 2 weeks have been really beautiful, but they felt a lot more tiring than the prior 2 months, right? And I don't think necessarily that it has anything to do or as much to do with moving or being in a new environment, new home, or spending so much time with family. I'm sure that this all matters, but I think mostly it has to do with me not seeing myself fully as honestly these days, like pushing away some of the things that tire me or pushing away some of the parts of me that feel nervous or stressed about something. It's a lot of the pushing away that creates this type of fatigue, and not really the activities. The activities really barely ever matter. Like you could do, I could do a million times more than I do now. I could have my family, I could do a birthday party that's going on for 2 months nonstop at the extreme. If inside of me, I'm in the right state of mind, if I'm internally fully expressing myself and experiencing myself, I think it can be really energizing and just the funnest 2 month birthday extravaganza ever, right? That I'll cherish forever in my heart. It's not the what you do, it's how you do it and why you do it. And I think for me, one of the challenges still is that I still got a lot to learn in experiencing the parts of me that are weaker or are not up to my quote unquote ideals yet, right? The selfish part, the jealous part, the nervous part, the angry parts, the unreasonable parts, every emotion and part of me that I don't accept, that doesn't hit my standards of excellency or the way I want to be. I think that those parts, I still do too much of suppression without even realizing it oftentimes. I might have used to do it with shut the fuck up and do it anyways. And now I might do it with, but you know, just trust in the universe and da, da, da. Like, just like, let go and let everything figure itself out and go, okay. And that's more gentle. That's kind of nicer, right? That creates a nicer inner world, but it's still the same thing. It's a child is knocking on the door and I sending it away, right? I'm not first inviting it in, listening, looking, feeling, pondering, not curious. I just go, nope, this feeling isn't what we need right now. Nope, this isn't reasonable right now. Nope, we don't need this right now. I send away too much of what bubbles up inside of me because I reject. It's like a lot of inner rejection. Like, oh no, this I reject. This feeling I reject. This split second of a thought I reject. And I think that is exhausting. Like there's that inner, that creates inner tension that exhausts. When I'm in a more chill environment, when I was in Austin just chilling, I didn't have that. I had one big challenge in Austin and that I transformed. And then I didn't feel anything there anymore, right? But coming back here, there's still a lot of challenges that I haven't transformed. And on top of it, I don't want to accept them. I push too much away. At least that's my current hypothesis. I don't know if there's still more work to be done, but my current sense is that it's not what is happening in my day-to-day. I still here have enough to be energized, enough to be excited. Like there's so much beauty here in my day-to-day, overwhelming amounts of beauty. If I feel less, it's not because I am experiencing less. It's because I am not expressing myself as fully, not listening to myself as fully. There's a lot that is bubbling up that wants to speak through me and to me that I don't allow. And I think that's really the cause of some of this fatigue. And so the work is not to work harder against all this, but to open up more, to dare to listen more instead of like leading as much. Maybe now is not the time to lead and to say yes to these thoughts and no to those, or yes to these feelings and no to those, or trying to hit some sort of weird ideal all the time. But maybe now is the time to listen to what's still inside of me, to what is stimulated to react inside of me here and right now. I think that's kind of the road ahead.